Last week, Dana Milbank published an article in the Washington Post about how the government continues to limit media coverage of funerals of the war dead at Arlington National Cemetery. The subject of his story is Gina Gray, now the former public affairs director at Arlington. Gray believes she was fired in retaliation for arguing that media coverage ought to be allowed when families ask for it. Today, the Washington Post reports that military authorities will look into her case. If you have questions about media access to military funerals, if you and your family has been through this experience, tell us your story. Our phone number is 800-989-8255. Email us, talk@npr.org. You can also join the conversation on our blog at npr.org/blogofthenation. Gina Gray will join us in a couple of minutes, but we begin with Dana Milbank, national political reporter for The Washington Post, with us from The Washington Post studios here in Washington, D.C. Nice to have you back on the program, Dana.
Good to be with you, Neil.
And let's lead with the news. The Secretary of the Army has ordered an internal review of the way Arlington National Cemetery handles media coverage. This follows your article last week. Are you surprised?
I am surprised a bit because they were initially giving quite a bit of pushback on this, but then I think they realized there were more details to it than the higher-ups had realized. Now, an internal review doesn't guarantee necessarily that will be thorough or exhaustive, but it's a positive sign that they're paying some attention to it.
And your point in your piece was that this was in some ways the ghost of Donald Rumsfeld haunting Arlington National Cemetery.
Yes, and of course, obviously we can't particularly blame Rumsfeld or even his successor, Gates, because this happened at a fairly low level. But it is the sort of thing that went on earlier with the refusal to allow the photographs of the flag-draped coffins returning at Dover Air Force Base, or Secretary Rumsfeld having an automatic machine sign the condolence letters to the families of the fall. And it sort of fits in with that pattern. And it's one that Secretary Gates has tried to exorcise from the Pentagon. This has been a notable exception to that, however.
In those cases, the justification was privacy.
Well, it is, and it is in this case as well. I think it's important to point out at the outset, though, that if a family, the next of kin, say they don't want media coverage, well, there's no media coverage, and certainly there'd be no protest from any of us in this business. We're talking strictly about cases in which the family has said, yes, we would like to have media coverage at this funeral, would like to share this our child, husband's, whatever's sacrifice with the nation. So essentially what appears to be happening is the family saying yes. The folks at Arlington are saying no.
And by saying no, they're putting the line for the media has to stand behind so far away that they can get no meaningful photographs, no meaningful sound.
Yes, you cannot hear the proceedings. The photographers cannot get a line of sight, and in fact, you leave the ceremony before it's over with the very important moment where the folded flag is handed to the grieving widow or mother or what have you. All of these things, I should add, were it was very common to be allowed to hear, see, and be very close to the proceedings as recently as 2005 when I went to report on one. I was very surprised that all of that had been taken away.
If you'd like to join the conversation, our phone number is 800-989-8255. Email us, talk@npr.org. And James is on the line. James calling us from Austin, Texas.
Good afternoon, gentlemen.
Afternoon.
I'm a Brigadier General in the United States Air Force. And in my 38 years of military service, I've attended a number of funerals at Arlington, including my son's, who was killed in Iraq 2 years ago. I don't think the media has any place whatsoever at Arlington while there is a funeral in progress, regardless of whether there are those who think that it should be a media event. I think it's a very personal service for the family and for the military.
First of all, General, I'm so sorry for the loss of your son.
Thank you.
And the follow-up question, though, is if the family requests it, or if the family says it's okay, shouldn't that be all right?
I can't conceive, and I'm certainly only speaking on my own behalf, I can't conceive of a situation where anyone would want to have a solemn ceremony like that that has a great deal of meaning to the family and to the branch of the military would want to make that But I think it detracts from the ceremony, and it takes away from the reverence of the ceremony.
But if they did, shouldn't that be okay?
Well, my personal feeling is I don't think there should be any exemptions.
General, thanks very much for the phone call.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. Joining us now is Gina Gray, the former public affairs director at Arlington Cemetery in Virginia, the subject of Dana Milbank's Washington Post article called Putting Her Foot Down and Getting the Boot. She joined us on the phone, and it's good of you to be with us today.
Hi, thank you. Good afternoon.
And I don't know if you were just listening to that last caller, a general who said he could not comprehend why he buried his son at Arlington 2 years ago, why any military family would want the media there in attendance. And I assume that's an opinion you've heard quite a bit.
No, not necessarily. I mean, every family is different. You know, and every family is going to grieve in a different way. And I think that's what makes the issue so sensitive and really difficult to get a handle on, is because every family is going to feel differently. Again, when it comes to media coverage, there are some families who absolutely are going to say no, and there are others who are going to allow it, but it's going to be permissive in a way that it's not intrusive. And then there are other families who would prefer to have the reporter sitting right next to them. And I think part of that is because they want to be able to share the story of their loved one.
And how did this come up in the context of your story?
Media access?
Mm-hmm.
It was my second week on the job, and there was a funeral for a U.S. Marine Corps lieutenant colonel. And I had gone out and kind of set up, as I was told, you know, there's a rope line and you have to keep the media back, and so I set it up. I went to pick up the press, Dana Milbank included, and I got back out there, and it had been moved pretty far away.
By whom?
The deputy director of the cemetery.
And on whose instructions? On whose orders?
Him.
Just his own?
Yes.
And was this the reflection of any policy that you were aware of?
That is, and that was my issue, is that there was no policy. There was no written policy. There was no regulation. There was no standard. And that was my problem, ultimately, is that there was nothing in black and white to refer to. There was nothing that you could point definitively to and say, this is the policy, this is the regulation. And so, as a result, things would constantly change. And that was my issue.
That it was arbitrary, in a sense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, and bottom line, the cemetery bureaucrats took control away from the families. I think ultimately it is up to the family whether or not media coverage should be allowed, and the family should be the one to determine what media coverage means to them.
Dana Milbank, as Gina Gray just said, you were there that day. Why were you there? And tell us about the experience from your point of view.
Well, I had gone, as I do occasionally, to write a column about a funeral. I had last done it a few years earlier, and it was quite a moving a ceremony. I returned to do what I thought would be the same thing, then realized suddenly that we could neither hear nor see what was going on. So I actually wrote about that experience of not quite seeing or hearing the funeral, and I had not realized that this set off this internal debate that ultimately led into to Gina's firing.
And Gina, are you convinced that your dismissal was retaliatory?
Absolutely, yeah, I am.
What is it more than anything that points that out to you?
I think just from that moment, from the day that the Lieutenant Colonel Hall funeral occurred, and I had put my foot down and started questioning, you know, where are these regulations? And then when I couldn't find them, I began questioning it further, and I think from that point on, it was very hostile and just kind of contentious.
Let's see if we can get another caller on the line. This is Gretchen, and Gretchen's calling us from Phoenix, Arizona.
Hi there. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
A secondary question that not directly relates to this, but is it possible that the quote-unquote rule of no media coverage also kind of stems back from this Hillsborough Baptist Church who puts up these incredibly hateful anti-gay signs? I mean, protesting, you know, a completely unrelated subject. They're not protesting the war. They're protesting a gay lifestyle. And then just to try and prevent any of them from getting anywhere near the funeral, the procession, or anything else between.
Dana Milbank, there have been these, protests that are very upsetting to military families of people. Well, I think Gretchen's got it right in a capsule.
Sure. I think it's unrelated because those have not been, to the best of my knowledge, at Arlington, which could obviously crack down on that sort of thing anyway. Arlington has a very special place in the country's memory. It is the most hallowed ground for somebody who has served in the military to be buried in. So that's why there is perhaps an additional public access question in terms of what should be viewed of the services there. And as the earlier caller, the general, certainly when somebody had that sort of a point of view, there would never even be a question. But in other cases, when the family was open to it, there is this matter of balancing the family's privacy with the American public's need to know that there's still a war going on.
And Gina Gray, if memory serves, that group lost a First Amendment case and were found prohibited from further demonstrations like that. Were there any concerns about demonstrations like that at Arlington?
Well, they can't protest on cemetery grounds. Nobody can protest on the cemetery grounds. And the burials are far enough away that if they were to protest, you know, outside of the gates, you still couldn't hear them while the ceremony was going on.
Gretchen, thanks very much for the call. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
We're talking with Gina Gray, the subject of Dana Milbank's Washington Post article called Putting Her Foot Down and Getting the Boot, and with the author of that piece, Dana Milbank. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. And let's get Amy on the line. Amy calling us from Washington, D.C.
Hi, this is Amy Nyberger-Miller. My brother was killed by a roadside bomb in Iraq and buried at Arlington National Cemetery actually last year. And my family did decide to permit media coverage at the funeral.
And again, we're so sorry for your loss, but what happened when, what went into the thinking? Did people talk about it?
We actually had an internal family discussion about what we wanted to do with media coverage. I actually work in media relations and have for over a decade. And so I spoke with my parents about what they wanted. And our decision as a family was that we wanted to find a place of middle ground, which was we did not want coverage that was exploitative. We wanted to see coverage that would honor my brother and the sacrifice that he had made, and that would honor his life. And so for us, that meant that the first week after my brother was killed, before we even went to Arlington for the funeral, we did not do any on-camera interviews. We did do an interview with our local newspaper. And we did feel that in the case of Arlington National Cemetery, that the media, we knew they would be back a ways, but that the pictures and video that they would get would also help our whole community grieve, mm-hmm. because my brother grew up in this community.
And in the event, did it?
I think that it did help our community, because 40,000 people could not go from a small town to watch their local hero be buried at Arlington National Cemetery. And yet there were hundreds of people who were deeply moved by my brother's death. And I think it was a way for people to be able to experience that and to also, you know, be part of that experience.
Thank you for the call, Amy. Let's see if we can get another caller in. This is Will. Will with us from Denver, Colorado.
Hello.
Hi, Will.
Thank you for taking my call. Last summer, I buried my father, who was a career Air Force combat pilot, and we buried him in Arlington. And I agree with the general. I don't think the press has any business being in Arlington. The way we solved the problem, as the previous caller mentioned, a lot of people wanted to grieve over my father's passing, but weren't able to attend, mostly because of their age. We actually hired a videographer, and the videographer made CDs for us.
But it was all private.
It was all private, and since that time, my mother's shown CDs to probably 400 or 500 different people that wanted to participate in it but couldn't make the trip. So I think rather than having the press, I think that's another option people have, but I would be against the press.
And they were they in any sense intrusive? Did anybody try to?
No, they weren't. In fact,
I say they, I mean we, I guess.
Right. The videographer explained that he would be from afar. He had a telephoto lens. I think the closest he got to when we were they were folding the flag to give to my mother, he was probably 50, 75 feet away.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was not intrusive at all, and yet it allowed a lot of, literally hundreds of people to participate in the ceremony.
Well, again, we sympathize with your loss. Thanks very much for the call, Will.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. And Gina Gray, as you mentioned, families are really, really different. Those two calls illustrative of that.
Well, I think it just goes to show that you can't put forth a black and white standard. You know, you can't put grief in a box and expect that everybody is going to react the same way. And so I think that's where it's important that we let the families have control.
And Dana Milbank, quickly, since Gina Gray's dismissal and the publication of this article and the follow-up, have things changed at Arlington?
Not immediately, but they have numerous funerals every day, but the only ones in contention, of course, are the ones who were killed in Iraq or Afghanistan, and these are mercifully few and far between these days, but no doubt we'll be revisiting this in the weeks to come.
Dana Milbank, thanks very much for your time. We appreciate it.
Thanks, Neil.
Dana Milbank wrote Putting Her Foot Down and Getting the Boot for the Washington Post, and he joined us today from the studios of the Washington Post in Washington, D.C. Gina Gray, thank you very much for your time and good luck to you.
Thank you.
Gina Gray, former Public Affairs Director for Arlington National Cemetery, joined us on the phone. This is Talk of the Nation from NPR News. I'm Neil Conan in Washington.